Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm going to miss this.
It's like a daily on-air hazing. Who is that guy?
Well, I don't know. He keeps calling in. Not sure who that is. Keeps calling in.
He's got a vendetta. Hi, DJ.
Hi. You still work here? Sorry. Welcome back. I mean, that's what I meant to say.
I've been gone 2 weeks. Did I miss anything?
No. Just business as usual.
Yeah. So you may have heard I'm starting that new superstore down in Burnsville that's going to be selling fax machines and pagers. Here's my reasoning for that. Vinyl came back. Vinyl is hot. Why not pagers? Why not fax machines? Maybe throw in a few 8-track tapes. I don't know. I may fail at that one. But it's good to be back. Good to be home. And so I was in Italy last week. Some friends invited me over. A friend of mine turned 50 3 years ago, and it kept getting postponed because of COVID. We couldn't even get into the country. But this year we pulled it off, and you can't get a bad meal or a bad glass of wine in Italy. It was stunning. If you get a chance, if you can only go to one place in Europe, even though I'm German, mostly German, go to Italy. They still kind of like Americans, and many of them speak English, and it's just everywhere you turn, it's a postcard. And then since Monday, I've been in Milwaukee, so I went from Cortona, Tuscany to Milwaukee. That's a bit of a...
Traded your wine glass in for a six-pack of Miller?
Schlitz. From the tap. It has to be from the tap. And I discovered, by the way, did you know that the hops that power Wisconsin beers are from Germany?
Really?
They used to be grown
in
Wisconsin, but now I think they buy their hops from Germany.
Wow.
And,
okay.
I don't know. Just all kinds of weird trivia. After the third glass of beer, people start to open up. But I was at a weather conference, the annual meteorology conference from the AMS, the American Meteorological Society, and I gave a presentation, and there was a segment on technology. Those of us dumb enough to launch weather graphic systems were all together in one place. That's never happened before. So some of our fiercest competitors were up there. But it was good. It was interesting.
I'm really torn up. I missed that. It sounds riveting.
Shut up.
I was back here, you know, and hanging out with my family and out on the lake and stuff, and you were in a stuffy conference room talking to scientists. I can't believe I missed that.
A weather geek convention. But look, I've been out of that world for a little while, the TV meteorology thing, but it was nice to see some old friends and meet some new people and talk about the technology.
Now, wait, when do I have to start calling you Chief? Because you've got a new role here at WCCO. Is that right? Do I call you Chief now or wait till next week? Yeah.
How about only? But I'm okay with that. No, I'm looking forward to this new role, and I really am. Somebody said to me when I was over in Italy, said, Paul, you can always make more money. You can't make more time. I don't want to be that guy that wakes up and he's 78 or 80 or 82 and there's some sort of physical malady and, you know, I can't travel anymore. So I'm going to take advantage of this time and grow my last company, Predictix, Seventh and last, no more. My wife has threatened to shoot me if I try to launch any more companies. But that's going well, and I want to be a part of that, and I want to travel a little bit more and spend more time with family.
Okay, fill people in a little bit. Next week will be your last week hosting here in the afternoons, right? And then you'll transition into a role as a meteorologist here. What is that going to look like?
You know, I'm going to be on with Vanita at 7:30 every morning and with Jason every afternoon at 4:30. And on the big weather days, I'll be there. I may be on a beach, but I'll pretend I'm here. And I'm not going anywhere. Minnesota is home. I'm not fleeing to Arizona or Florida, as tempting as that is in February. This is home, and my kids are here. My friends are here. My business is here. So this is where I want to be. But that said, I do want to see more of the nation, more of the world, and there's a lot of stuff still on my to-do list. But I will miss hanging out with Jor, and I'm going to miss – I'm even going to miss hanging out with you, DJ.
Aw.
Yeah. Well,
just a little. Just a little.
Just a little. But hopefully we can every now and then get together. And I'm thrilled that Jordana is on with Adam from 9 to noon. I was concerned about that. So that's great news. And we're going to get an update about Jordana. I think she's doing better. Her amazing husband, Mark Rosefield, is going to be joining us at 4:05 with what I hope will be some good news. In the meantime, Tim Lammers is joining us. He's up next. Little in this world does. Buzz is one of the good guys. That was a clip from the new Pixar comedy adventure Lightyear, with the voice of Chris Evans joining us now, the voice of Tim Lammers. I hope you like this one. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Paul. Yes, I did like it. And it's very interesting, very creative, the way that Pixar went about this one. So at the beginning, they have a little preamble that says, in 1995, Andy, the kid in Toy Story, got an action figure of Buzz Lightyear based on his favorite movie. This is the movie that Andy likes. So all of a sudden, we're seeing the movie that inspired the action figure. So it's a prequel of sorts to Toy Story. So that's a good way to excuse the filmmakers, if you will, for using Chris Evans' voice instead of Tim Allen's voice. I almost said Tom Hanks. So basically a prequel story. You know, it's basically the guy behind the action figure. And I have to tell you, Paul, first of all, seeing it in the, you know, big screen, on a big screen, it's amazing that how far animation has come in about 30 years since that first Toy Story. And so that's something that you notice immediately. But what you also notice is that this story has as much, I don't know what you want to call it, depth of meaning, whatever. It's the same sort of quality. I mean, Pixar has delivered time after time after time with their films, and they continue to deliver, you know, 28 years later.
Yeah, and it seems like this is one of those rare movies that adults can enjoy as much, maybe more, than their kids, right?
Yeah, because, you know, look, you have the silly goings-ons that happen. You know, you have, Buzz Lightyear and his chief adversary, who is Emperor Zurg, who is Pixar's answer to Darth Vader, right? Uh-huh. You have those sorts of things, but they also, you know, question the sorts of things that adults face. One is the how rapidly time goes by. In this film, what happens is Buzz Lightyear leads this space crew of hundreds. They're in an interplanetary mission. The ship that they're flying can't make it off the planet that they were examining. So now all of a sudden everybody has to put their nose to the grindstone. They have to figure out a way to achieve hyperspeed again. Hmm. Buzz takes test flights with one of the smaller spacecrafts trying to get off the planet, but every time he goes up, he's gone only 4 minutes, but because of time dilation in space, he comes back. The people that are on the planet have aged 4 years. So you take a few of those trips, time is going to fly by rapidly. So it just makes you think, just much in the same way of, you know, taking my then 2-year-old son to see Toy Story in 1995 to think that, oh, my God, it's almost 30 years later. So yeah, time does fly by, and it really makes you stop and sit back and reflect on the more precious things of life.
Amen to that, brother. And you managed to work time dilation into a movie review. And
you know what? Cool. I never thought I would, and I honestly, unless I would have looked it up, I probably wouldn't even have known about it. I know, like in the movie Interstellar, they examined that concept too, where they crashed on a planet, and all of a sudden it's 20 years have passed by on Earth in the course of 1 hour on this other planet. So, yeah, time dilation. There you go. I hope that's right.
Yeah. Hey, we'll go with it. Unless a listener corrects us, but I want to tee up this next clip. This is from an independent comedy, Brian and Charles.
My new project, I'm building a robot. Didn't look too bad, does he? I wonder what he'll do when I turn him on.
You'd like me to give you a name? Tony?
Charles?
Charles.
Charles?
Charles.
You like that name, do you?
Hello, Brian.
Hello, Charles. It's lovely to meet you. This is incredibly overwhelming. Imagine me
and you. So I'm not sure what to make of this. Is this a quirky British drama?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is, Paul. And, talking about all the money they probably poured in the light year, this is obviously a smaller film. It's about this guy named Brian who invents this intelligent robot named Charles. Basically, he combined a washing machine and a mannequin head, and looks like a little kid would make that Halloween costume, like put a box on the top of your body and cut holes out the side and walk around. That's what this robot looks like. But it's very intelligent, and it needs to learn life lessons. So at first, it starts off behaving like a young child, then kind of a belligerent tween, and then a rebellious teenager. So it's, again, full of quirky, cheeky British humor. The one appeal for this, and the reason I wanted to see it is, and I know you've seen Afterlife, Ricky Gervais's
amazing,
wonderful series. There's a guy in there. He also plays Brian. His name is David Earle. He's in this film. He is Brian in this film. Huh. He's the one with the thick beard, and he's a pack rat. Yeah, funny actor. And basically, it's the same role that he's playing here. So if you like him in Afterlife, you'll definitely like him here. So yeah, it's just a weird independent ditty that I think works for the most part pretty well. I think it starts slow, but it definitely gets going and has some meaning toward the end.
Absolutely. And again, these are both in theaters, right? Lightyear and Brian and Charles. Okay.
Brian and Charles have a lot fewer screens, about 5 screens in the Twin Cities area. So, you know, again, we know that everybody has different tastes. Not everybody wants the Pixar animated fare, you know, so you do have a choice of an independent film. You know, again, that's going to take you away just as much as Lightyear is going to take you away from the everyday doldrums.
Tim Lammers, appreciate the update. Thank you for teeing up some food for thought, and can't wait to get out into the theaters. And I want to see Brian and Charles. That I find that intriguing, so thank you.
Did you see Maverick yet?
I have not. I'm waiting. We've been gone for 2 weeks. I'm just home. Thank God I got home. Yesterday was just a comedy of errors trying to fly home from Milwaukee.
I saw your tweets.
Well,
yeah.
And look, I'm a fan of Delta, and look, they're having a rough patch right now, and I hesitate even bringing it up, but I'm just happy to be home. I think a lot of travelers have similar stories right now across the board, not just Delta, but all the airlines. It's a bit of a gong show out there right now.
Sure. Well, you could have alleviated the pain if they would have been showing Top Gun Maverick on the in-flight movie.
Yeah, I'm going to go see that with my youngest
son. Definitely see it in theaters, though.
Absolutely. Tim Lammers, thank you, and we'll catch you next week, next Tuesday.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Oh, my. Joe Lindsley, is he in Kyiv, Ukraine?
Yeah, he was yesterday. Usually he's in Lviv, but yesterday he was in Kyiv, and we'll have to find out when he joins us next.
He's usually in a bomb shelter.
Well, we usually hear that. Like,
what's
air
sirens
going
on?
The
sirens going off. An update from Ukraine with reporter extraordinaire Joe Lindsley coming up next on CCO.
Paul Douglas back with you on a Friday, Father's Day coming up. Don't forget, don't just send an email. That's so lame. Yeah, get at least a card.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Lindsley has been braving artillery and bullets and sirens to give us updates from pretty close to the front line of the battles going on right now in Ukraine. Joe Lindsley joining us right now. Welcome back, my friend.
Paul, great to see you. Good evening from Kyiv. For those watching on the live stream, it's a little dark because it's after the curfew hour. Most of the city, the capital city of 3 million people, you keep the lights off. Kyiv is always was a 24-hour city before the war. And there's a curfew at 8, but really from about curfew at 11, but really from about 8 p.m., the streets become almost dead silent. And it's quite a jarring, to see a city that was full of so much life before the war. And now it's filled with checkpoints everywhere you go. This is my first time in Kyiv since the war began. And obviously life's a lot better here than it was in the first weeks when everyone thought it might fall to the Russians. But it is very much a different atmosphere.
Joe, why are you in Kyiv? Normally you report out of Lviv. I know you've been moving all around the country, but why in Kyiv? And are there still bombardments? Are you suffering through any missile attacks or are things quiet for the moment?
There have been no attacks here in Kyiv since I arrived a few days ago, but I left Lviv, it's hard to remember, I think at the end of May, to deliver supplies around the country and to be able to report and to see the situation from west to east. And so I think last I spoke with you, we were in Nikopol, which is on the Dnipro River, and across the river we could see the land that the Russians occupy, including the nuclear power plant, the largest in Europe. And then after that, we went further into Donetsk, quite into the very territory now where the biggest battle is raging. That battle is in the city of Severodonetsk. We were nearby in a city called Bakhmut, where we were delivering the supplies to the few people remaining there while bombardments continued all around the city, just a few kilometers away. And even as we were driving through that countryside, everything was on edge. At one point, two jets flew over our heads, our crew that was driving, about 75 feet above us. Later, we saw reports that Russians are flying extremely low to avoid detection by Ukrainian air defense. At every checkpoint we went to, the Ukrainian soldiers would say to us, looking beyond the road, Godspeed and good luck out there, because it gets more and more dangerous. And really see the difficulty of this. It's, right now, it's really an artillery fight between Ukrainians and Russians at that point. And unfortunately, the Russians are steadily making gains in these little cities where they have focused their resources.
And to that point, Joe, I keep hearing reports. I know you're getting a lot of arms. Howitzers from the United States, other arms and ammunition from our NATO allies in Europe. Is there a shortage right now of ammunition?
It can be a difficult thing to figure out. I think there's enough ammunition for the military to keep fighting. The shortage seems to be when it comes to training. And training has been a big problem here. And so the training has been a bit ill-equipped. I was speaking yesterday with two British warriors who are here to fight and to train Ukrainians. They were on a little break here in Kyiv, and they were describing the scene at the front in Donetsk. They said the Ukrainians are not short of courage. That's never been the problem. I think the world sees that. But they're short of understanding. They need tactical guidance and help and better weapons. And they're still – one of the main things Ukraine has been calling for is tanks from Germany or from the United States. And this has been the sort of weaponry that that even President Macron of France admitted when he was in Kyiv a couple of days ago, or I guess it was yesterday, that NATO has been unwilling to send that level of heavy machinery because they are afraid of further provoking Moscow. And so I heard these stories yesterday from the British warriors of being in the trenches in Donetsk with the Ukrainians. And the foreign fighters told me that the Ukrainians are fully capable of an offensive against the Russians, but they overestimate the Russians right now. They don't, in a sense, believe enough in themselves. Not that they're afraid, and they just need better training and better weapons. And he says, with that right now, the Russians are not yet learning from their mistakes, according to these guys, and Ukrainians really could make a push, but they need that help.
Well, it's turning into a war of attrition, as many analysts predicted it would. And who's going to, you know, can Ukraine hang in there long term? When I think about the resistance, I think gritty determination. Has the mood of the people and the fighters changed? Talk a little bit about the ethos and how people are feeling right now.
Well, when I was in Donetsk, we took supplies to sort of a supply depot, a little camp a few miles from the front. And we sat there. The soldiers offered us nice hospitality, and they were speaking quite honestly. While we're surrounded by armored personnel carriers and trucks that were been riddled with bullets while they're delivering guys to the front. And there is a resilience. Part of it, they know they won't give up. So there's a resilience from that. But there's a tiredness, and there's a recognition that the idea of the war of attrition, you know, Russia, the largest country in the world with immense resources, that the longer this goes on, Ukraine will be drained of its resources, and the world will lose interest and support. And already we've seen, because of the blockade of Odessa, you know, Ukraine exports before the war so much grain, for example, to the world. 50% of the food for the United Nations World Hunger Program came from Ukraine. But instead of pressuring Russia, world leaders are starting to pressure Ukraine to negotiate because of the food shortage and because of gas prices. And there's many believe, and Ukrainians believe, that Putin or those around him, Putin was always a great chess player, knew this from day one, that you would get to this point where the world would start to pressure Ukraine. And that's why, for example, the surprise visit of Macron was important yesterday, because President Macron of France has been urging Ukraine to give up a little bit, to surrender a little bit, and to negotiate. And yesterday, President Zelensky brought him to the Kyiv suburbs, which have been absolutely devastated. And there's a photograph of Macron, and he looks a bit different, staring at the carnage outside of Kyiv. And so there's a hope maybe that some European leaders will start to wake up. Boris Johnson came here today, and Zelensky has said that, you know, he has been one of the biggest supporters of this country. But this people are tired, Paul. Yeah, very tired.
I can't begin to imagine how weary you must be. Thank you again for your relentless reporting and upbeat attitude. I don't know. I think I'd be curled up in the fetal position in the corner of a bomb shelter. But I'm amazed you're out and about. You're exposing yourself to great risk just covering these stories. And Joe Linsley, we so appreciate you and your team. Mention again for listeners where they can see your reports.
At UkrainianFreedomNews.com, and you can follow us there. And we also welcome support to help us deliver small batch supplies to get helmets and first aid kits and bulletproof vest to soldiers at the front lines.
Joe Linsley, hang in there. Be safe, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Good night.
You bet. When we come back, a bit of travel drama if you're flying. Something that Delta is doing right now made me scratch my head. We'll have that when we come back on CCO.
Paul, back with you. Yesterday, I spent a lot of time at the Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport. And look, we all have bad days. Whatever company you're involved with, you're going to have bad days. But it seems like a lot of people who are flying these days are running into trouble. I had no issues getting to Italy and back. Getting home from Milwaukee turned out to be a bit of a nightmare. But, you know, sometimes it's God tapping you on the shoulder saying, yeah, you know what? You are not in control.
Yeah.
And here is a 401 level crash course in patience.
You know, I'm kind of happy that happened to you, because I think in my 12 years here at CCO, I've had that happen three times where I've gotten stuck traveling somewhere and
right.
and missed my responsibilities here. So, you know, three times in 12 years, I guess that's okay. But I kind of like that it happened to somebody else.
Well, thank you, I think. And look, it wouldn't have been as big a deal. I had the radio show yesterday afternoon, so I missed that. Shaletta, God bless her,
yep.
filled in, did a great job. But anyway, I found it interesting. Pilots for Delta wrote an open letter to customers published yesterday saying the large number of recent flight delays, cancellations, and cuts were unacceptable. And they were flying a record amount of overtime to help you get to their destination. Their words. At the current rate, by this fall, our pilots will have flown more overtime in 2022 than all of 2018 and 2019 combined, our busiest years to date, the pilots wrote in the letter. We empathize and share in your frustration over the delays, cancellations, and disrupted travel plans you've experienced. We agree it's unacceptable. Then I went back and I found a May 26th press release. Delta announced it would reduce its services by about 100 daily flights between July 1st and August 7th. So that hasn't even kicked in. And I'm trying to wrap my brain around this. Why, at a time when demand is going up, everybody wants to fly now, make up for lost time, why are they cutting flights? I don't pretend to know. But
I mean, part of it, I think, is staffing. And the other part is that airlines are unwilling, because of tighter margins and the higher gas prices, airlines are unwilling to fly half-empty or half-full planes.
So, when's the last time you were on a half-empty plane? It's been a while.
Yeah, a long time.
It's been years.
Yeah, a long time.
Pre-COVID, maybe, but now every seat is taken. I mean, for me, it was a flight in Virginia that got to LaGuardia 5 hours late, and it causes a chain reaction.
But I guess it's cheaper for them to deal with that than to send a bunch of half-full planes that they're not getting full revenue for.
So again, learn from my mistakes. Yesterday, I took the second flight out of Milwaukee.
Should have taken the first.
Always. And yeah, you have to get up 5 a.m., 6 a.m., suck it up. If you're the first flight out, you've got a much better shot.
Yeah.
At getting to your destination.
Yes, indeed.
I'm just happy my luggage got here. I'm happy I got here. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, as you plan your summer travel plans, just build a plan B and a plan C. And, you know, light some incense. A prayer wouldn't hurt. When we come back, an update on Jordana from Mark, her husband. I think she's having a better day. We'll have that next on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.